Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Hi, this is Dr. Andy Barlow with the Chiropractic Physician Center of Tupelo and author of the number one best-selling book, The Codebreaker. Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Then call my office at 662-844-1414 and order my new book, The Codebreaker.
This is Rebecca Turner, and thank you for listening to the Good Things Podcast here on Super Talk Mississippi.
It's Mississippi's Radio Happy Hour.
But I'm going to Mississippi. Mississippi, here I come.
You're listening to Good Things with Rebecca Turner.
But I'm going to Mississippi. Mississippi, here I come.
Bringing you the good stories of Mississippi's people, places, and things to do. Now, here's Rebecca.
Good afternoon, Super Talk Mississippi. You're tuned into your Radio Happy Hour. That's the Good Things. I'm your host, Rebecca Turner. Don't forget, you can listen to Good Things. We are streaming live over at supertalk.fm. We're also streaming from the Super Talk Mississippi app, and you can always find us, too, on your local Super Talk Mississippi radio station, and you can watch Good Things. We are on your computer, your mobile device. Just head on over to Super Talk TV. Thought we'd kick off the show today by celebrating all the children whose parents said, you know what? One and done. You are all we needed. We don't need to have any others. No, it is National Only Child Day. And I kind of live the best of both worlds. I have a half brother who's 13 years my senior. So for my parents, I was the only. And then by the time I was five, he had enlisted into the Air Force. And so I was raised as if I was an only child for sure. And I always found it odd how people were like, it's just you. Like, you don't have any like brothers or sisters. And nope, just me. My parents had me and said, you know what? She's perfect. We do not need and everybody would say that is my problem. No. But that is the stark difference between me and Rhino, because Rhino, you are the middle child of three. Could you even fathom the idea of being an only child?
Not an only child. I can empathize a little bit with being the older child, because mm-hmm. like you, my older brother is 13 years older than me. Yeah. So by the time I was coming along, he had already gone off to college. And I didn't quite get the mantle of oldest because he was still the oldest, mm-hmm. but I still had some.
So you didn't really get the middle kid syndrome by being squished in between, like back to back.
The biggest thing of middle child syndrome I have is my resentment that the baby got away with everything.
Right. And that would be what a lot of folks say, too, about only children, which I would clap back and say, not really, because there was nobody that went before us to sort of show us the way. And so we had two eyes, or I guess really four eyes on us at all time, because there wasn't another one to distract parents at any time. So you got away with absolutely, you know, nothing. I do think it's neat that they say that families with only children has doubled since the 1970s. So people are starting to say, you know what? Maybe we don't need 20 kids to make a family, and it's gotten less and less. Look, I understand there's a lot of different reasons why people have different number of kids. We thought we were going to be a family of three with an only child, and you listen to Good Things long enough, you know we had an unexpected blessing 7 years after that, to which Neely will always and forever roll her eyes and be like, I could have been an only child. I should have been an only child. But no, we wouldn't give anything for our little caboose that completed our family. But no matter how your family's sort of made up, if you are an only child, there are certain things that only children can sort of understand. And I think that's the same with if you're the oldest of several, if you're the baby in the family, or if you're the middle of the family, then everybody has kind of their own unique experiences. But also there's a lot of similarities that sort of lap over for one. One I always, you know, thought was most felt like only children were a little socially awkward. Absolutely not. Extremely extroverted. One thing I think is good about it is we learn to like play with ourselves, or your imagination. Like you had to figure things out, you know, especially if you were born.
You're the ball in the wall.
If you were born in like my era or even earlier, your parents weren't necessarily, not that my parents neglected me on any stretch of the imagination, but they weren't, you know, laying in the floor playing games with you, being as sort of interactive or intentional. They worked and, you know, they had house chores and all things to do. So when they told you to be a latchkey kid and go outside and have fun, it was just you. And
it's amazing.
You had
the
neighbors,
in,
but like you figured it out.
It's just amazing the difference in the emotional fortitude our generation has compared to younger generations because of that factor right there.
Not being like, you would get bored and then you would figure it out, and you didn't have a sibling to go and bounce things off of or to annoy or to play with. Or, and I know there's good, bad, and uglies with all the, you know, sort of scenarios. Trust me, I had a wonderful childhood. I'm not saying, but you just sort of figured it out. You also were, you're usually, and this painting with a broad brush, only children are more okay with being alone. Like, I'll go to the movies by myself. I'll go eat a meal by myself. It's not like a big deal to like not have some, always have to have someone sort of around, because you grew up like playing by yourself and doing all these things. But watching my daughters have that relationship, there is a part that's like, oh, it would have been, I wonder what it would have been like had to have had that kind of built-in bestie, as so many do when they have, you know, sort of multiple children. So anyway, if you are also an only child between your parents, then today is your day. I don't know what your dynamic in your family's like, so I don't know if I'd send out a group text saying anything, you know, that might get you in trouble. But there you go. We had a national day, so we should at least celebrate that. It's another national day that's to me equally as good, but more delicious. It's National Grilled Cheese Day, or Cheese Sandwich Day. I can't remember. It's
National Grilled Cheese Day.
National Grilled Cheese Day. There was another
Grilled Cheese Sandwich Day. If you want to be technical,
Grilled Cheese Sandwich Day. And I think yesterday may have been National Grilled Cheese Day. And to which I'd say, what's the difference? But I do think this is one meal, if you call it that, or a sandwich, that brings us all together. I can't imagine anyone.
Yesterday was National Cheese Fondue Day.
Okay. Well, cheese is having a moment this week. I guess that's what I'm trying to get at. So it is National Grilled Cheese Day today. And it is one of those things. I can't imagine someone listening to Good Things who has never had one. Like, at least one. Like, I mean, there may be somebody, you may be out there, 601-879-4395. I'm not saying it's not impossible. I would first ask, like, are you lactose intolerant or have a milk allergy, because you don't count, because that you're allergic to it. So it's not that you don't like it, you can't have it. So that's two totally different things. But I can't imagine anyone never being introduced to one as a kid, if you grew up in our cult, like in America, in our culture here in Mississippi, because it felt like that was one of those like rite of passage things that you would get made for dinner, for snacks. And then as adults,
it's also one of the first things you learn how to make on your own.
Absolutely. And then as you grew, it was not enough to satisfy you. So you started adding it to things. That's when it started becoming like soup's partner, or you get a chips and a pickle.
So that's how it wound up being the bun to a burger.
That's how, right. Like, I mean, you know, I look at my 4-year-old who loves grilled cheese sandwiches. Like, that is one thing, if you offer, you know, it's going to be a hit. So like, they happen often in our house. But that's it. That's all she wants. It fills her up. That and a cup of milk, she's good to go. She's 4. You throw a grilled cheese sandwich at me as a snack. Like, I'm going to need, and the kind that we make, which is your 2 pieces of white bread, your flimsy cheese out of the wrapper, a little butter, you know, that's to me like your quick go-to. But you may have seen that on restaurant menus and others, though, grilled cheeses have been elevated over the last year.
Got a little frou-frou.
They've gotten very frou-frou and very expensive, by the way.
Well, that's because the cheese they use is frou-frou.
I was going to say, good cheese is not, yeah, not cheap at all. You almost feel bad just watching it all sort of melt. When you
I feel bad when you wind up with 2 or 3 different cheeses that would be 10, 15 bucks for a wedge of it at the grocery store, and you start mixing all those cheeses together to make a grilled cheese. It's like, I don't think you're doing the flavors of or the textures of these cheeses any service.
No.
Like, I'm not against the grilled cheese, but you don't need Gouda, Munster, and cheddar. Like, you could remove one of those and save yourself 10 bucks on the making of the sandwich, and it'd still be just as good.
How do you make your grilled cheeses at home?
Usually it's going to be a slice of cheddar and a slice of pepper jack.
And
a little
then,
kick and the cheddar flavor. Like, that is the grilled cheese flavor.
Are you doing butter, or some people do mayo for their...
I honestly don't do either. Just give me bread and melty cheese. That's all I need.
Do you do it in the skillet or do you do it on like a flat top?
I started doing it in the skillet now that I have a bigger, nicer kitchen at the new place. But for the longest time, I did it in the toaster oven.
Mm.
I would do like,
you've told us that.
Like two open face where you have one piece of bread, one piece of cheese, one piece of bread, one piece of cheese, the bread toasts, the cheese melts, and then you marry the two.
You know those were called cheese dreams back in the Depression times? Like before they, so like in the 1920s, they didn't close the sandwich together. It wasn't until the Depression that they closed the, and make it a heartier meal. But it was just an open-faced piece of bread with the cheese on top. That was when they called them cheese dreams. And then they started to close them, and that's when the grilled cheese sandwich sort of came in. And I think the term grilled cheese appeared in like the 1960s, and it's pretty much been a staple in American.
The one thing I've never done with a grilled cheese is I've never bought any of those little bags things you can put into a toaster. They make them.
Do they?
They have these little bags. You can put the grilled cheese in the bag, slide the bag in a toaster, and it toasts it in a toaster. I haven't been brave enough to do that.
Butter and thinly sliced ham on the text line for their grilled cheese. You know, we got two chefs coming in the studio coming up next. We'll ask them how they like their favorite grilled cheese. So stick with us. We got more.
Beat, positive, and stories that make you smile. This is Good Things with Rebecca Turner on Super Talk Mississippi, the Super Talk app, and at supertalk.fm.
Good Things, streaming on supertalk.fm. We're also streaming from the Supertalk Mississippi app. Of course, you can always find us, too, on your local Supertalk Mississippi radio station. And don't forget, you can watch us, too. We are on your computer, your mobile device. Just head on over to Supertalk TV. You'll see that the studio exploded with people over the last segment. It's a good thing. We've got with us Chef Catherine Bruce. She has joined us before from Clinton High School. She brought Chef Josh Phillips. He's also with the ProStart Educators there at Clinton. And two of their students, Hope and Treasure, are joining us today. So welcome all.
Thank you.
And I think you all just won something big. So Chef Bruce, what did y'all just bring home?
Yes, so we were just part of the Mississippi ProStart Invitational, which was held at the Brandon Civic Center. It was hosted by the Mississippi Hospitality and Restaurant Association. Six schools from around the state participated. Teams of 4 to 5 students were able to come and cook and prepare a 3-course menu in about 60 minutes with lots of different parameters around that to participate in. So it was fantastic, and these guys were part of the winning team.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right, so today is National Grilled Cheese Day, so I have to ask Hope and Treasure, how do you like your grilled cheese?
Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, go ahead.
I actually had grilled cheese last night and I had it with tomato soup.
That's not bad at all. How about you, Treasure?
I like it with garlic butter on the top instead of regular butter. It's so good.
Chefs, y'all are creating great at-home cooks sort of already. I'm thinking at their ages, because how old are you ladies?
I'm 17.
I'm 18.
Okay, was not worried about garlic butter or like pairing it with tomato soup or sort of anything like that. But I also set y'all up for that before for Good Things started, and they both went into straight like, oh my gosh, she's going to ask us technical questions about like grilled cheese. So like Chef Phillips, I mean, is this part of like not asking technical questions, but like is that part of this program that they learn things like that, like temperatures and like expectations?
Yeah. So I teach level one, and that's a lot where we do the food safety aspect of it. So they learn how to store food properly in the refrigerator so they don't cross-contaminate. They learn how to cook food to the proper temperature to kill any pathogens or bacteria, all sorts of stuff like that.
Well, and I think those are not only really neat skills to learn, but also life skills to start teaching. So, Chef Bruce, like, at what age can students start to take part in these culinary programs within their high schools?
Yes, so our program starts in 10th grade and runs through their senior year. They have the option of taking level one and level two, and then if they want, they can interview for our internship program, which is the level three. And we hand select just a few students for that, and that is more mentoring, competition, like a teacher's aid program where they help us and assist us in the kitchen.
So girls, have y'all been through, I guess, all three levels?
No, this is our second one.
So y'all are on the second level. So Treasure, because this is like voluntary, correct? Mm-hmm. Y'all chose to go into this at Clinton High School. You didn't necessarily have to do it, which I think everybody should know how to make a grilled cheese. what led you to wanting to do the culinary program there at Clinton High?
I've never really been in the kitchen. My mom always cooked, and so I really wanted to learn like a technical style, but also learn like family traditions and recipes that come from like deep in generations.
Were you surprised at how easy or how hard cooking was once you got in there?
Sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's hard, depending on what we're doing. Especially knife skills, they're really hard to me.
You watch your finger, like you hold your fingers back and watch and make sure we're not nicking it. That's me with my daughter. I'm like, please don't lose the finger when sort of learning it as well. Hope, you can move that mic a little closer to you and sort of tell us what inspired you to try the culinary program there at Clinton.
I feel like I'm more of like, not the majority, but like more basic. I was just kind of like, I think it'd be fun. Let's, you know, try it out. And it has been really fun. I've met a lot of really cool people. Been a lot of really cool stuff.
Did you have any culinary background prior to coming into class?
My mom cooks a lot, and I help her sometimes, so I knew a little bit, but I definitely learned a lot more than I was expecting to learn.
Right, because the more, like, your parents, Chef Phillips, is normally just like, hey, come up beside me, right. Stir something, mm-hmm. Flip it over.
Correct.
And then I can remember my first culinary class as a dietitian. It's like, you got to measure things? Like, there's math involved?
Yes.
Like, you know,
yes.
What are we sort of doing this? So how do y'all approach it specifically in that level one, where it's not intimidating, but then it's also not too easy, because I mean,
right.
There is some just introductory things to cooking.
So we go over a lot of things, like just even equipment identification and just trying to figure out what we call it in the industry versus at home. And so like a spatula, for instance, like there's rubber spatulas, there's Turner spatulas, just getting them in used to those names and those things, and then we move into the technical things. So we start with measuring. That's one of the first things we do, and teach them how to level off like a measuring cup, because volume measurement is very different from weight measurement and those kind of things. But we try to make it fun and do fun things like making brownies and Rice Krispies the first few times, something they're familiar with, but maybe not the steps that go with it.
Are you surprised at how good students can be in the kitchen and how bad students can be in the kitchen?
Yes to both of those. Yes, because it's fun when they have confidence and then they walk in and then it's kind of all goes downhill.
When they can burn boiling water,
yes.
And then you can totally see,
yep.
Sort of that way.
Yep.
Hope, what would be your first flub in the kitchen? You can move that mic closer to you. Yes, Hope, sorry. I went the wrong way.
I don't think I've had any like crazy mess ups. I will say last year or earlier this year, I picked up a really hot pan, which I had turned to the side so that it wouldn't be hot, and I picked up the handle, and somehow it's still hot, and it completely burned my hand, and it just went everywhere.
I think you and every other home cook in Mississippi is nodding their head. They remember the first time that sort of happened, and I remember teaching my oldest, and she would always go to grab it, and finally I just said, you know what, like, grab it, girl. If you think you need to grab it, and you're only going to do it once.
Yep.
And if she did, she just tapped her hand on it and only sort of did it once. I bet you will test it next time before you grab onto it.
Yeah, lesson learned. Definitely never again.
Definitely never again. Okay, Trezor, for you, have you had like a fun flop? Or I hope you hadn't hurt yourself. I didn't mean to set her up for that.
No, I haven't hurt myself. I definitely, one time I measured in grams, and it was supposed to be liquid measurement, and so I had to do that all the way back over. And I just got done with it. And then they're like, no, you have to do this all the way back over. And it was really bad.
Yeah, if you mess up with the, like, grams, ounces,
yep.
Whatever it may be, when you're cooking something, that can be a little bit of a I guess it messes everything up is what I'm trying to say. Chef Bruce, so at what point do y'all start to kind of, like, teach the knife skills or, like, move into that next sort of level of experience for your students there at Clinton?
So level one, they definitely do the basics as far as what Chef Phillips has already said. Level two is where we go a little deeper, more full full plate oriented, cooking the whole meal, really getting into the kitchen almost every day versus just a few times a week. So it moves into that. And from that, we start to pick our competition teams and have them trying out for that and moving on to those higher levels of learning.
So the competition team girls, is that something, Treasure, that you wanted to do from the get-go, or was it you got like suckered into it, voluntold?
Wait, your teacher's here. I mean, you were so excited to do it.
I was excited to do it. I was also a little nervous, so I backed out at the beginning, and then I was like, and then I came back in, and I was like, I definitely want to do this again. And she was like, okay, we're down for it. And we're like, okay, I'm in.
Well, Hope, you said yourself, you were kind of like, oh, go with the flow. Let's do it. Everybody's doing it. That's really not the attitude for, like, competing. So how did you find yourself on the competition team?
It's actually the exact same thing. I was not planning on doing it at all. And then Treasure actually texted me while I was shopping, I was shopping, and she texted me, and she was like, hey, you want to be our manager? And I was like, I don't know anything about that. And she was like, it's easy, just do it. And I was like, okay. And now I'm here.
Don't you love kids? Like, that is, like, that's how it goes. Okay, so a manager, that's not something, Chef Bruce, you think of when you think of, you're like a team in the kitchen. Although, if you've had any, I guess, a back of the house experience, now that I'm saying it, you would. But what are those roles on the team?
So, because we have three dishes to prepare in 60 minutes, we have a student assigned to each dish, then the fourth student's assigned to sauces. So he's our saucier. The one this year's preparing four of the sauces for the team. And then you have an optional manager position that is vital to winning, I really think. And Hope, yes, as she nods. So Hope fills that role. And the manager position is not allowed on the inside of the kitchen area. They are on the outside with a clipboard, timers, and they have a list of what each of the four are supposed to do within that 60 minutes. And she is there coaching, reminding them of things. I mean, it's a detailed list with everything, you know, when to wash their hands, when to sanitize their table. Each of those things are point deductions if you don't do them. So her role is vital as far as just being the extra set of eyes, because the students don't realize how nervous they get once mm-hmm. they're in there with the judges. And so being in the Brandon competition, I think they realized how helpful it was to have Hope there reminding them, go wash your hands, you know, flip this over, add this salt, don't forget to wipe your plate off, or whatever it was.
So Treasure, what you're telling me when you text Hope while she was shopping is you knew she was bossy enough to be the manager.
Definitely.
It's okay, Hope. You know, if you got skills sort of, you know, are you an only child? No, I'm just kidding. If you are, that's hysterical.
I have four siblings.
Okay. Are you the oldest?
I'm the youngest.
Oh, right. None of my things went to plan for that. But it sounded like everything came to plan for you guys there at Clinton, because you all walked away with the win. What was the official title for the win?
First place culinary arts for the state of Mississippi.
For the state of Mississippi. We've got more with that team coming up next here on Good Things.
Rebecca Turner.
She looks healthy and sane.
Good Things with Rebecca Turner continues on Super Talk Mississippi.
To Good Things. We are streaming live over at supertalk.fm. We're also streaming from that Supertalk Mississippi app. We hope you have downloaded that. You can always find us too on your local Supertalk Mississippi radio station. And don't forget, you can watch us. We are on your computer, your mobile device. Just head on over to Supertalk TV. We're continuing our conversation with the Clinton High School's Culinary Arts Program. And we've got Chef Bruce, Chef Phillips, as well as two of their, culinary students. We've got Hope and we've got Treasure with us today. Chef Phillips, I want to ask about the ProStar curriculum, because that is the curriculum that you guys use to sort of teach your level one, level twos, and sort of level threes. Why did Clinton High choose that?
It is nationally known. It's written by the National Restaurant Association Education Foundation, and so it's a nationally recognized curriculum, and so it's the best, and so that's why we use it. It's awesome. We have great support through the Mississippi Hospitality and Restaurant Association that's affiliated with that as well, and so it not only gives us the top level curriculum. It gives us sponsors. It gives us partners. It gives us funds. There's so many benefits to it.
And it sounds like, Chef Bruce, that this program is really geared towards obviously linking what they're supposed to be learning into the classroom and to bringing it to the kitchen, which anybody who bakes or cooks says there's so many sort of parallels to that, but also opening students up to the wonderful employment opportunities that could be in the culinary field or hospitality field. Is that sort of wrapped into it as well within the level one, two, and threes, even though it's a life skill too?
Right.
But there's
right.
also, yeah.
Absolutely. We really focus on getting the students out into the industry and even easier bringing the industry into us. So we have guest speakers from around Jackson. Some of the top chefs here have all come into the kitchen and done demonstrations for the students. Some of the local businessmen come in and talk to them about the ins and outs of running a restaurant, all of the things that go into it that the students don't think about on a regular basis. So yes, we really try to have a nice mix of field trips and guest speakers to expose them to all that they can.
It's not just competition.
Not just competitions.
But that is a cool part. And So, Chef Bruce, is this offered across the state? I know we're talking about here in Clinton High School, but is this offered in other areas?
Yes, there are, I think, 72, is that correct? 74 ProStart programs.
43,
just kidding.
That's it? Math is hard, and I'm a terrible baker.
It's Friday. 43 programs throughout the state. Most of our high schools do offer some version of the ProStart program. Some of them are smaller home kitchens, and it's a smaller program. Some of them, like ours, have a huge commercial kitchen and dining room where they can do, we offer catering and the full restaurant experience mm-hmm. where the students can get, you know, the front of house and back of house in there. So.
Hope, I know by now that you've sort of did this on the whim, taking the culinary arts, but now that you've sort of seen it, I mean, are there thoughts of going into culinary for like a career, or is this still just more of like, these are really cool life lessons and things learned that I mean, obviously you're going to grow up to cook for a family or whatever, but has it opened your eyes to other potential professional opportunities?
I will say, I don't think I'm going to go into the food industry, but like for now, I definitely think it's opened me to like being willing to try and getting like jobs, like part-time jobs before like I officially settle down and stuff. And also just, like you said, teaching me a lot of really good stuff that I can use later on in life.
Absolutely. Knowing all the right temperatures to cook things will make
absolutely.
You won't burn that mac and cheese whenever you get there. But how about for you, Treasure? Were you interested? I know you wanted to come in and sort of better understand like cultural culinary skills or just all the things. But have you been opened up to this world of industry that maybe you didn't know was there?
Yes, I definitely have. But I don't think I would like to go into the industry. I definitely would like to experience more like international cuisines and like try stuff outside of just American and other nationalities.
Well, that in itself, I think, is great when you open kids up to just exploring and learning about different mm-hmm. cultures through food, which you can definitely do. And it's neat to me to hear, Chef Phillips, how much you guys can y'all travel, right? Like, y'all travel with these teams. I didn't, you know, you think mm-hmm. of like, you have to do a traditional sport for your kids to have these opportunities to get outside of the school to go and sort of do. But where all of you taking the team?
We took them to Disney last year, which was really fun. We did a competition and competed against how many?
63
different teams from across the country. And that one there specifically was focused on international foods. And so they got assigned a continent and that kind of stuff. Just recently, we went to New York City and did a culinary tour of New York City, which was really awesome for our students. I think we got to get a guided tour of Chinatown and Little Italy, which was really cool. They got to sample all sorts of different types of ethnically, like, real, not Americanized food, which was really cool.
So pasta, not noodles.
Right. Like, right. They got to see, like, real traditional gnocchi and cannoli and different things, and it's not, like, the Americanized, like, chicken parm that they're used to. And so it was really, really cool.
And Chef Bruce, you said y'all even got more on the docket for the rest of the year. So where else are y'all traveling to?
So since this team placed first in Brandon at the Mississippi ProStart competition. We will be traveling to Baltimore April 25th through 29th. That's where the national competition is held. So we'll be there with all 50 states representing Mississippi. And it is an exciting trip. We get 5 days in Baltimore, and it's sponsored by the Mississippi Restaurant Association, which is so wonderful that these students get to do that, and it's sponsored. And so we also will go to Atlanta this summer for another competition with Skills USA with some of our winners from that competition. So
Treasure, what's it like on the competition? I'd say floor kitchen. I don't know how to say it. Are you now looking at Food Network and seeing like Chopped and all the things and be like, I got this?
Yes. Yes. I've definitely talked about that with Chef. I was like, we can definitely do this. Like, we could go on here and we could rock their world. Like, we would eat this up. And I'm so excited for Nationals.
So how do you hold your nerves? I mean, it can get pretty spicy in a kitchen when, you know, you're trying to do things fast, but it also has to come. It can't just be burnt. It actually has to taste good. So How have you also learned to work as a team to make sure that that gets
done? I trust my team, like, 100%. Like, they're really my family. So, like, you have to know that your team can back you up, like, either way it goes, especially Hope always singing to us and making sure, like, we're good and we got things down pack and ready.
So Hope, it sounds like one good thing about being a manager is not just being bossy, but you do it in a calm way, which I think is going to take you so far in life. You have no idea.
Yes.
Absolutely.
But how do you stay calm when you see, like, everything that needs to be done or keep going? Like, how is it on the competition floor with that?
It's definitely less stressful not having to cook, just being there to observe. But you kind of just have to think about your own team. It doesn't matter what anyone else is doing. I think last competition, there was one team and they were really loud. There was a lot of clanging going on. And I was just like, guys, don't pay attention to them. I'm singing Careless Whisper. Just focus on me. Focus on what we're doing over here. And it went pretty smoothly, so.
You know, Chef Phillips, you start to see these schools who win, like, all the time in football or baseball, and you start to see other students being drawn to those schools for those particular programs, right? Because you don't get to just go out and pick your teams. You're, no offense, ladies, but you're stuck with who's coming up, right? Like, yes. I mean, who's within the school system. But it feels like Clinton has really sort of poised itself as being a pro start, I mean, in terms of what y'all are putting out. What do you attribute to that?
I definitely think it's the camaraderie between Chef Bruce and myself. We dovetail very well. Our backgrounds really work well together. I'm definitely more of a back of the house person. She's definitely more of a front of the house person. And it's really cool how it's all worked out. Everything that I love, she's kind of like, I can do that, but it's not my thing, and vice versa. And so we work really well together. And I think the most important thing is just having a good time. Like, we try to create a culture in our classrooms of family, of just, you know, you're safe here. This is fun. Food is just one of those things that I really feel like you can dive deeper into a relationship with. Like, think about if you're just going to have coffee versus if you're sitting down and having a meal with someone. And I think doing that and teaching someone how to do that, there's a lot of opportunity for mentorship. There's a lot of opportunity for relationship. And it's just, it's a great job. Like, I think we've hit the jackpot with what we got going on here.
And I know y'all also there at Clinton are well supported with sponsors and others within the community. Who all is helping make this happen for you guys?
So this year for the Pro Start sponsors, we have Nuke's Eatery. They are sponsoring this competition this year, so we're able to go to Baltimore. Lava Link, which is the Mississippi Latin American Business Association, and Highland Building Service. So those are our three major sponsors this year for Pro Start.
And again, when you support local businesses and local companies, they are pouring back into your communities, and you may not necessarily see it in all the ways, but sometimes it's in the culinary programs and sending kids sort of off. So Treasure, if you had to tell kids listening in the car rider line today on good things to get into the culinary program in their school, what would you say? Or to their parents?
It's so fun, and I love it. I love my chefs so much. They have did a lot for me, and they've pushed me so much and so hard at many things and got me out of my comfort zone. So to be able to sit here and, like, do the thing that I love the most and experience things with them is really amazing.
So Hope, how about yourself? What would you say to the kids who are like, I don't know about culinary arts?
Hey, take it from me. It's fun. I didn't think I was going to be here, but I am, and it's great.
And I think that, and again, there's 43 programs across the state, and if they want to learn more, see if Pro Start is in their school. Chef Bruce, where would we go for that?
You can go to the Mississippi Restaurant Association's website, and it links there to Pro Start, or to the National Restaurant Association website.
Yeah, the Mississippi Hospitality and Restaurant Association, they have tons of information there. Erin Bushwald is the representative for that, so you could reach out to her directly as well.
All righty. Well, congratulations. We'll be following you as y'all go on to your other competitions and throughout. So good luck.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Y'all stick with us. We got more for you coming up next.
Selling your
Rebecca Turner.
She's smart and pretty.
Good Things with Rebecca Turner continues on Super Talk Mississippi.
Worked all week, got it all done. Let's make a Tennessee River run.
Welcome back to Good Things. We are streaming live over at supertalk.fm. We hope you have downloaded that app, that Supertalk Mississippi app, that is. We hope you know you can always find us on your local Supertalk Mississippi radio station. And don't forget, you can watch us when you're on your computer, your mobile device. Just head on over to Supertalk TV. Don't forget, too, coming up next Thursday, the Gala Show will be at the Jackson Convention Complex for the Mississippi Economic Council's 75th annual meeting. So to register or to be a sponsor, go to mec.ms. That's mec.ms. And I know we all missed Tanya today to talk movies, but I did want to let you know something that you can stream this weekend if you would like to that is Mississippi related. We all know the Pascagoula and the whole UFO story, or you may not know it, but we've all sort of heard it, the alien sort of thing. So it is actually being featured in a Netflix series, Files of the Unexplained. So the series' first episode is the story of Charles Hickinson and Calvin Park and their UFO experience from the 1973 on the banks of the Pascagoula River. And it is streaming now. So if you are looking for something to stream on your Netflix that's Mississippi related this weekend, there you go. Pop you some popcorn. Check out a piece of Mississippi history. I have no idea what take or, you know, whatever that they'll spin with it. So, look, I'm just telling you, it's out there. If you want to watch it, you know, go watch it and see what they have to say about the entire thing. But I think that's kind of cool. One that will continue to live on and on and on. Because correct me if I'm wrong, but both gentlemen have now passed on.
Yeah.
So there you go. Something else, if you're looking to listen to something new, we've got lots of podcasts for you. The True American Heroes podcast is out. It is about the stories of America's true heroes in their own words. It is produced by Supertalk Southwest Mississippi and hosted by Jack Rutland. Each episode of the podcast revolves around the direct testimony of a Mississippi veteran, which we think is pretty cool. And you can get all of your favorite Mississippi shows, too, in podcast form, if you didn't know that, wherever you listen to podcasts. Rhino, you streaming anything fun, new, out of the ordinary recommendations?
I'm planning on streaming Shogun on your recommendation this weekend. I'm probably going to get around to that, but I did come across something that I'm probably going to go down the rabbit hole on and do a little research into it, because I've never been exposed to this until today. It's a sport that came about in the country of Finland.
Okay.
And apparently, from my limited research I've already done, it is a sport that was created by a Finnish man who came over to America 120-some-odd years ago and saw a game of baseball being played.
That's pretty cool.
And he liked it. So he took it back home to Finland with him, and he couldn't remember all the rules. So they just kind of made it up as they went along. Huh? And it looks kind of like baseball and softball, but until you start looking at it a little harder, and it's like, that looks nothing like baseball and softball. And it's called, I'm going to totally butcher it because I'm not fluent at all in Finnish, but it sounds like baseball when you say it's pesäpallo.
I'm not saying that.
But it's spelled with a P, and there's a umlaut.
So what's the so what's similar?
The similarities involve a ball, a bat, and gloves, and it's kind of on a diamond, but not really.
Okay.
They run around the bases, but they don't have to tag the base, and instead of having a pitcher, the catcher stands there and does kind of like the coach pitch,
mm-hmm.
where they toss it up and the batter hits it, but it's a competitive game, so they toss it up higher than, say, like a tennis serve. They'll chuck it up there, and you got to watch it all the way down and hit it. It looks fascinating.
Interesting. It's always cool to me how games even come about. Like when you think about the games that you love the most, you know, soccer makes a little more sense on how it sort of originated, because I think since the beginning of time, probably kids have been just kicking something around and trying to have fun with it. It's just instinctual to sort of do and make, and humans have been competitive since the beginning of time. I guess you could see baseball coming out of that too, like throwing up something round and trying to sort of hit it and then sort of naturally unfolding around it. But yeah, those origins of how like things became things to me is really
like the origin of softball.
Right.
Softball, very much like pesäpallo from Finland, was someone that enjoyed the game, but instead of not remembering the rules, they had to adapt the rules because they were limited on the space they could play in, and they had to be able to do it indoors in the gym. If memory serves me, that's how softball came about, was basically trying to come up with rules to be able to play baseball in a gym.
Huh. And look what we got now.
Yeah.
It's also cool, too, like the things that took off and then the things didn't. You know, I love the Olympics, and that's coming up, so get ready. But the things that used to be in and now aren't, and things that are coming in and aren't, and all these things, to me, is just mind-boggling, too. Like, we've got breakdancing this year.
Ooh.
Just saying, if you are into it, here's your chance.
If we don't win a gold in that, I will be upset.
Yes.
Because we invented it, but somehow France gets to feature it in their Olympics.
Oh. That's true. Okay, Jeff in Pontotoc, he wants me to let you know that the movie Civil War came out today. So there you go. Do you think Tanya skipped today just for that, Jeff? I made her not go. All right, stick with us. You got Sports Talk Mississippi coming up next. We'll meet you back here at 2 on Monday.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.